That message I brought this morning, I wondered during the time that I was thinking about preaching it. Ever since last Thursday, I had to call Bob and tell him what my messages were on Thursday. Why I picked that particular message, I couldn't understand it because I kept kind of arguing with the Lord. That seems like a more of funeral sermon than anything else. And then I got up, because it mentioned death so much in there, then I got up here and Kenny came in and told us that his daddy had died this past Friday evening. And you know, the pieces just came together, and that was it. That was the reason for that message this morning. And the Lord was preparing me for it, and I didn't even know it. But I'm going to miss Homer Schofield. He was a very dear friend of ours. Some people that we got acquainted with 50 years ago when we first came out here to Chula Vista. Well, we lost Anna Sutton here a couple of weeks ago. The Suttons were very dear friends all through these years. And now then, with Cleo and Homer Schofield gone, there's another couple there. And of course, Dale and Ann Wright, and hey, I could begin to name them. God's calling his people home. He's calling them home. But thank God, one of these days we'll have a grand reunion, won't we?
Oh, amen there.
All right. It's going to be wonderful. I have a message tonight from Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, for a text. And that's all that is just a text. And I want this thought to remain with you. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, now this is after his resurrection and just prior to his ascension back to heaven. Here's what he said. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now it's good to know that we have a centralized power, isn't it? That there is one who has all power, all authority, both in heaven and in earth. And that we are his children. We are his heirs. We're citizens of his kingdom. We are under his jurisdiction. And he is a kind, gracious, and loving ruler of all the universe. But tonight I want to talk about God and natural disasters for a little while. There are many catastrophes that would fall under the category of natural disasters. Here in Southern California, earthquakes is one. Floods, we don't know too much about floods. Our 4-inch rain was typical 4-inch rain, wasn't it? Rain dropped 4 inches apart. I'm going to have to get on to John Coleman about that. Floods. But you know, in parts of the country, they do have floods. They're real floods. I see it on television. I've never been in the middle of one of them. And I have no desire to be. Volcanoes. We got the one over there in Indonesia. I read Tommy Crawford's letters. He's one of our missionaries over there in that country. And he talks about the volcano, how dangerous it is. Tornadoes. I've seen some of those from a distance, thank God.
I've been in one.
You've been in one?
Yeah.
Wasn't fun, was it? It's kind of scary. Yeah. Tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, droughts, famines, all of these kind of what we call cataclysmic events that takes place. We think about the 7-year drought that they had in Egypt in the days of Joseph. Then there was a 3-year drought in the days of Elijah when he told the king that it wasn't going to rain for 3 years. The question is, are these things sent from God, perhaps as judgment upon nations or localities? Or are they caused by the devil? Or are they just simply products of nature? As I begin to think about this, the first incident that comes to my mind is the destruction of the world by the flood in Noah's day, when it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But you know, all of that rain didn't come down from heaven. Some of it came up. There are those that deny the flood. But we have scientific proof. We have historical proof as well. It's recorded in the ancient historical records of almost all nations and peoples. Back in 2319 B.C., in the 1656th year of man, that terrible flood came and destroyed the population of the earth, with the exception of Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. At that time, the water on the face of the earth was 5.3 miles deep. We know how deep it is. It's easy to figure because the Bible tells us that it covered the highest, tells us how many cubits deep it was from the top of the highest mountain, and we know how high the tallest mountain is. So there's no doubt about that, that that was from God. Satan didn't send it, and it wasn't a natural thing that took place. It came directly from God. And that flood, when you read Genesis 6, 7, and 8, you'll find out that it came as judgment upon the world because of sin. That was directly attributed to God as a judgment. Another one that's close to that, not a flood, but it's a notable incident, is in Genesis chapters 18 and 19 about the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in 1868 B.C. We've got a date for them. The Bible says, when the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. God did it. And of course, the reason for that destruction was his judgment upon homosexuality of those cities. That was an abomination in the sight of God. And God rained down fire and brimstone upon them and destroyed them. They never have been rebuilt. Another interesting one is in Numbers chapter 16. There we have the account of the demise of three fellows by the name of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And that was about 1642 B.C. And the Bible says that they provoked the Lord. You don't want to provoke God. It's not safe, really. You're skating on thin ice, so to speak. And when the Lord got provoked, the Bible says that the Lord caused the earth to open her mouth and swallow them up. Just think, the earth just cracked open. It just opened its mouth and swallowed them up with all that appertained to them, their houses and all their goods. It says they went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished. Now there's a third example of judgment of God for their sin. There's some lessons here that we need to learn. Don't provoke the Lord. Now, before we go any further in this, perhaps we should differentiate between a supernatural event and a miraculous event. Something that is supernatural versus something that is a miracle. Let's consider the earthquakes. We know the scientific explanation for an earthquake. We know there are plates underneath the earth down here that are moving about. And personally, I believe that with the increase of the population and taking water out of the ground and taking oil out of the ground and moving mountains and things like this, is kind of throwing the world out of kilter. And this is a natural event that takes place. We have faults in the earth that and the earthquakes happen with very frequent occurrence along these faults. Now that's nature. We hear about them happening almost every day. There's an earthquake somewhere in the world. But when are these earthquakes incidental? When are they supernatural? And when are they miraculous? A supernatural event is one that's brought about by the direct interference of God. He's kind of overriding nature, so to speak. It's a natural thing that God brings about. Okay? An earthquake is a natural thing as the plates of the earth shift. But God can make it supernatural by causing it to happen. It's like rain. Rain is a natural thing. The clouds come over and the rain falls. But when God specifically brings it about, then it becomes supernatural. A natural thing becomes supernatural when there's a large amount of it. Now that's illustrated for us, I think, by Elijah after his Mount Carmel experience that he had over in 1 Kings 18. There had been a 3-year drought, and God was going to end the drought at the word of Elijah. Elijah told the king that it was going to rain, and the Bible says the heavens were black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. That was a supernatural rain because God brought it about. It's a natural thing for it to rain, but it's supernatural when God brings it about like that, the timing of it, so to speak. A miraculous event, on the other hand, is one which, being the result of an interference of God, is not brought about by his use of nature's established order, but it's caused solely by an isolated act of his will. There was a wedding one time in Cana of Galilee. They ran out of wine. They had 6 empty water pots here, and Jesus told the servants to fill the water pots with water. They obeyed him. They filled them with water. And then he said, draw out and serve the ruler of the feast. And when they drew it out, it was not water any longer, it was wine. Now that's a miracle. The Bible says that was the first miracle that Jesus performed. Supernatural, but yet it was not a natural thing for water to turn to wine. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, remember the crucifixion? There were 6 miracles that took place. One of those miracles was a great earthquake. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27 that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. It said the earth did quake and the rocks rent and the graves were opened. At his crucifixion, the very moment that he died, 3 o'clock that afternoon, there was a great earthquake that came. It was so great that it broke the rocks in two, and the graves in the cemetery were opened. That was a result of an interference with God. That was a natural thing that took place, but it was supernatural in that God caused it to happen at that particular time. So he was behind it. And 3 days later, by the way, in what the scientists today would call an aftershock, wouldn't they? 3 days later, there was another earthquake. Matthew 28, verse 2 tells us about that. It said, behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door of Jesus' tomb and sat upon it. Now, don't you know? They looked at the seismologists, but the guys that read the graphs, they looked at it and said, oh, that's an aftershock from the one that we had 3 days ago. But it wasn't. This was a separate earthquake that God sent. In Acts chapter 16, there was another great earthquake. Paul and Silas were in the jail at Philippi. They'd been beaten and imprisoned for preaching the word of God. Their feet were in stocks. At midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. And at that earthquake, the Bible tells us that the bonds of all of the prisoners were loosed. The foundation of the prison was shaken. The cell doors were all miraculously unlocked and opened. That was a supernatural earthquake. It came as a direct act of God's will. Timing of it. See? Back in Exodus chapter 19, I like this one. God met with Israel. They were encamped at the foot of Mount Sinai. And God came down to visit them. He didn't come down to the plain where they were. He landed on top of the mountain. And you read about that. When he came down upon Mount Sinai, the mount was altogether on a smoke. I imagine it looked like a volcano about to erupt. Because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. Now that was a supernatural thing that was taking place right there, wasn't it? Because God was there. His presence was on that mountain. And that mountain began to shake like a bowl of jello. And there was fire and smoke and all such as that. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, King Saul's son Jonathan and his armor bearer, they were in battle against the Philistines, as usual. They went to a garrison of the Philippines and slew about 20 men. And the Bible says, and there was trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers. They also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. That was a supernatural thing that took place. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah stood up there on the mountain before the Lord. And the Bible says, behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Now that's pretty strong wind that can break stones, isn't it? Supernatural. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. These were supernatural happenings that were taking place. And then there was a still, small voice. We're told in Isaiah chapter 28 about Ariel. Ariel was the city of David where he dwelt. And the Bible says, thou shalt be visited by the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and flame of devouring fire. You want God to come see you? Joel chapter 2 verse 10 predicts the time when the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Some of that we can't even understand. It's hard to imagine something like that happening. These are supernatural happenings. The Lord is in charge. He's doing it. John writes in Revelation chapter 6, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake." Now I want you to notice what happens here. "A great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." That's not all. "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." These are supernatural happenings that are taking place, and God is behind it. In fact, there's several supernatural happenings that occur in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 8, verse 5, there's an angel that fills a censer with fire from the altar in heaven and casts it down into the earth. The Bible says there were voices and thundering and lightnings and an earthquake. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 13, the city of Jerusalem, there will be a great earthquake in which a tenth part of the city will fall, and of the earthquake there's going to be 7,000 men slain. God is foretelling this. He knows it in advance. And shortly after that, in verse 19 of that 11th chapter, says there were lightnings and voices and thundering and an earthquake and a great hail. Again in Revelation 16, 18, there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake. That's going to be the biggest. That's the big one. And so great. The cities of the nations fell. Every island fled away, and mountains were not found. And great hail fell out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. How much is a talent? A talent is a unit of weight. 75.5 pounds. There's no doubt that these are supernatural happenings. By the way, this was interesting. I don't know if you saw it or not, but in this past Friday's Union Tribune, they had an article in there about an event that took place back on November the 4th, a couple of weeks ago. NASA has a space probe that's traveling out through space. It costs $333 million of our tax dollars. It is traveling at the speed of 27,000 miles an hour. That thing is really on the move, isn't it? Well, that space probe found, the paper said, a peanut-shaped comet of ice that's a mile and a half long. And it is, they even gave a date. They said it is 4.5 billion years old. I don't know how they got that. But anyway, this peanut-shaped comet, a mile and a half long, is composed of ice balls the size of golf balls up to basketballs. Now, let your imagination work. We got a space probe, and by the way, they got as close as 435 miles to that thing. Can you imagine if they'd have hit it? If they'd have hit one of those golf ball size. But listen, that craft did get hit 9 times with particles that weighed less than a snowflake. I read it in the paper. Comes from NASA. Anyway, there's some hail out there that's waiting to come down. And we've already read in a few places about a supernatural darkness, such as that in Luke chapter 23, verse 44, when Jesus was on the cross. We know that at noon, 12 noon, the sun went out, and there was darkness. The Bible says there was darkness over all the earth for 3 hours, from 12 noon, when the sun is at its zenith, until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Kind of reminds us of the thick darkness that came upon the land of Egypt in Exodus chapter 10. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. Now that's supernatural darkness. This is something that God brought about, don't you see? And then, how about that time in Joshua chapter 10, when Joshua and the armies of Israel were fighting the Amorites, 1451 B.C., they're having a battle. And the Bible says that the Lord cast down great hailstones from heaven upon them. That's upon the Philistines, the enemy. He fought for Israel. And as they were fighting, get this, the Lord caused the sun to stand still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. That's in Joshua 10, verse 13. And the moon stayed. Did you see the moon tonight? I was driving up Palomar, and there it was, boy, is this big around. Beautiful thing. And I thought about that. God can make it stay in one place. He's the one that's got the power. The scientists tell us that the sun stood still for 23 hours and 20 minutes. Almost a whole day, until Israel had avenged themselves on their enemies. Now that was a supernatural thing that happened. In fact, the Bible says there was no day like that before or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And then how about that time? In fact, the Holy Spirit had this recorded twice in Isaiah 38 and also 2 Kings chapter 20. That's the time when King Hezekiah got sick. And his sickness was unto death. He's about to die. And God sent the prophet over there to him, and Isaiah told him, he said, Hezekiah, the Lord's going to have mercy on you, He's going to add 15 years to your life. 15 years. Well, Hezekiah says, how will I know? You know, that'd be pretty good to know that God's going to add. You can get in a car wreck and you're not going to be killed. You jump off a tall building, you won't be killed. You shoot yourself in the head with a gun and you won't be killed. If God guarantees you 15 years, He's going to give you 15 years. That's what He did to Hezekiah. Hezekiah says, how will I know this? Give me some proof. Isaiah said, you see that sundial of old King Ahaz built? Yeah. He said, now it's a natural thing for the shadow on that dial to go down, isn't it? Yep, said it sure is. That shadow moves. That's the way they used to tell time before somebody invented watches. And Hezekiah says, can God make that go backwards? You know something He did? God just went over there. Just, you know how you set your watch? Yeah, that's the way God did it. He did it, but He did it with the sun. And He made the sun to go backward 10 degrees. That, by the way, is 40 minutes. 40 minutes on the sundial. And no doubt about it, God's in charge. And He can do miracles, and He's in charge of the weather. He's in charge of global warming. Yeah. Al Gore discovered it. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. I'm not going to tell you about a movie I bought. I mentioned it to some of you. It's called... This is interesting. I mean, this is scientific. Way back yonder, 4.5 billion years ago, there was a giant shark and a giant octopus that got froze. Global warming came along and they thawed out. Hollywood picked up on this, made a movie out of it. It's a pretty good one. That shark, that's the biggest shark I ever saw. This makes Godzilla look like a Mickey Mouse. This shark is big enough that he can jump up out of the water in the ocean and grab airplanes flying over out of the air. And that octopus is so big and so powerful that with one of his tentacles he can throw it over one of these big cruise ships and pull it down to the bottom of the sea. And they were just about to get the best of mankind until somebody come up with the idea that let's get them to fight one another. And they got into one of the awfulest fights you ever saw in your life. And I'm not going to tell you what happened because it would spoil the plot in case you ever wanted to see that movie. But I got it and I'll rent it out. But they got froze and God thawed them out. Global warming. God's in control of this world. He's in control of your little life and my little life. And there's nothing that happens to us that He doesn't know about. And we're His children, and He's looking out for us. And He's going to take care of us. So what I've given you tonight is just a potpourri of what God's able to do. And what He's done before. And what He's going to do. That's the kind of God that we have. He's all powerful. He's the one that made all things that are. Simply by speaking a word. They came into existence from nothing. So it increases our faith and confidence in Him anyway, doesn't it? And to think that that God has redeemed us unto Himself. He sent His only begotten Son into the world to be made sin for us. He who knew no sin. That we, you and I, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm Christian.